Welcome to Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM. And this is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. The New Mexico State Legislature starts its 60-day session today. The political landscape shifted in the November election, and the Republicans now are in the majority in the House for the first time in 60 years. There's a laundry list of environmental and conservation bills that have already been pre-filed and others that we know about and we don't know about. And we're pleased to have two guests with us today on Earth Matters who know the ins and outs of the legislature and what bills will be discussed that have the potential to impact New Mexico's land, air, water, and wildlife, either for good or for bad. For the first half of the show, we'll be talking with Dan Lorimer, Conservation Chair of the Rio Grande Chapter of the Sierra Club, who will give us an overview of what to expect this session for environmental and conservation-related legislation. And on the second half of the show, we'll discuss the bill to ban coyote killing contests with one of the bill sponsors, Representative Jeff Steinborn from District 35 in Doñana County. Given the recent discovery of coyote carcasses dumped after a coyote killing contest, sponsors will reintroduce this bill that was first taken up in the 2013 legislative session. So let's start with Dan. Welcome, Dan Lorimer.
Well, thanks very much, Allison.
Well, we're pleased to have you. This will be an exciting 2015 legislative session. We're heading into a 60-day session today, and Dan, you've spent more than 10 years working in the legislature as the Sierra Club Rio Grande Chapter's conservation chair, so you've seen how things really work, and I guess I thought that we should start out by giving our listeners a bit of background on what goes on in the Roundhouse being the name for the New Mexico State Capitol building. Maybe you can tell us what happens there every year.
Okay, surely. The New Mexico legislature, like all legislatures, is an organization that during the sessions is organized around killing legislation. The idea is that only the very best pieces of legislation can make it through that onerous process. The way a bill becomes law is a representative or a senator submits that bill. The bill is then assigned by either the floor leader in the Senate or the Speaker of the House to a couple of committees, two, possibly three committees. The bill gets heard in each of those committees, and any of those committees can kill it just by not passing it, or amend it, or pass it the way it is to the next committee. If a bill, say we start in the House, a representative submits the bill to the speaker assigns it to some committees, it goes to its committees and say that this is a good bill, the legislators resonate with it, and they pass it out of the committees, then that bill is heard on the floor of the House of Representatives, where it's debated and voted on by the entire body. If, again, the bill passes that process, it has to do the entire thing over again on the Senate side of the legislature. In other words, go through committees and be voted on the floor. If it's gone through the House committees and floor vote successfully, if it's gone then over to the Senate through their committees and floor vote successfully, then it goes up to the governor for signature or veto or pocket veto.
Wow, so it really is a pretty onerous process, and also it seems like whoever is the majority party wields a lot of control, right, in terms of committee what committees bills get assigned to. Is that correct?
Very, very much, Allison. And if for one reason or another the thinking about a bill is that it's not something that they really want to see happen, or if they want to make sure that the legislature understands it, they might give it three committees to go to. That's a lot longer and harder path than the two-committee assignment approach. And so one way that the Speaker of the House, for instance, can control legislation is by assigning multiple committees to a bill. That way, it makes it that much more difficult for a bill to pass the through the legislative process.
Wow. So lots of buzz going on right now because the Republicans won a majority in the House during this last November election. What does this mean for getting things done? And more specifically, what does it mean for any conservation or environmentally related legislation that might be passing through the legislature this session?
Well, it means a couple of things. I would say that environmentally protective legislation, particularly if it has a negative economic impact, those kinds of ideas are not likely to get very far in the 2015 New Mexico House of Representatives. The Republicans who, in a general sense, see the world through an economic lens rather than an environmental lens or a lens into the future, they look at today's economy, and that's what they focus on. And so it's very possible that little environmental legislation will pass through the whole process this year, compounding the fact that the Republicans have the majority in the House of Representatives now. It's going to take a couple of weeks for the Republicans to organize. They have to populate all of the committees over again because, as you mentioned, for the last 60 years, all the committees in the House have been chaired by Democrats. All of those chairs are no longer chairs. They're going to be replaced by Republican chairs of each of those committees. And there is even talk amongst the Republican leadership that they might take the old Democratic chairs and make sure that they are not on their old committees so that they're not second-guessing the new chairs. So we're looking for a big reorganizational responsibility by the Republicans that is going to forestall the hearings for good bills and bad bills in the House committees, so we get a late start in the House, and we have an attitude in the majority of the House that's focused more on the economy than the environment.
Wow. So needless to say, it'll be very slow going as the session kicks off, and most likely for the entire 60-day session. Is that fair to say?
I think that after a point, my anticipation is that they will drop it down into gear and start hearing lots of bills in the House committees. It might be 3 weeks out, though, before they're ready to do that. Perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps they'll be ready in a week and a half to do that. The Senate has not changed leadership. The lieutenant governor, who is a Republican, is the president of the Senate. And he's the guy up at the lectern looking out on the body of the Senate. And so that has been a dynamic that's been in place since Governor Martinez has come into office, and her lieutenant governor is the president of the Senate. So we've had a Senate with a Republican president, but we have a fairly strong Democratic majority in the Senate. And so as bad bills come out of the House, the Senate is going to be the backstop. The Senate is going to be where we have more of a capacity to stop bad legislation because it's still got a Democratic majority.
I see. So let's start talking about some of the legislation that has been pre-filed or things that, you know, Dan, are coming down the pike. So we've got a number of pretty important bills. Water is a big issue here in southwestern New Mexico as well as around the state. And there are a number of water bills that I think would be interesting for people to maybe track. Brian Egolf, Representative Egolf, HB 114, no false statements to the Environment Department, water budget rate structures, forest and watershed restoration. Tell us more about some of these key bills.
Well, why don't we talk about the Forest and Watershed Restoration Act, which is very sweeping legislation that's being sponsored by a Republican in the House, Representative Paul Bandy, which is very, very helpful to have a Republican sponsor in a Republican House. And our traditional champion in the Senate, Senator Peter Wirth. And this is a bill which basically, it does a bunch of things. And what it starts out doing is it enacts the Forest and Watershed Restoration Act, provides for long-term funding for forest and watershed restoration. It creates the Forest and Watershed Restoration Board. It creates the Forest and Watershed Restoration Fund. And it provides for a distribution from the Insurance Department's Suspense Fund to the Forest and Watershed Restoration Fund. And so basically, the idea here is to raid this insurance fund, which is probably just money that sits there and has been growing for many years. They're trying to raid that create an entirely new fund directed by a board, the object to improve forest and watershed health. And I mean, it's really exciting to have split sponsorship of Republican and a Democrat sponsoring legislation that is as comprehensive as this is.
So, Dan, the impetus behind the Forest and Watershed Restoration Act was these catastrophic wildfires, just like the Las Conchas fire and the fires even we've had down here in the Gila area. Impetus for this act is to help mitigate catastrophic wildfire. How will this act help on that issue?
Well, the idea of the act is to have on the ground restoration projects. This is not about studies. This is about projects to help protect our forests and the watersheds that they are the guardians of. So to me, it's just exciting to have it as broad as it is. And frankly, this is the right time for it. I'm assuming, and I'm pretty sure, that these dollars that they're raiding just sit there. And so to put them to practical use while we are trying to recover from those forest fires and while we're in the midst of this drought is an impressive effort by legislators.
Okay. Well, Dan, we're going to take a short break here and stay tuned as we return and talk more about the upcoming legislative session. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Sibick, Director of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. I'm joined by telephone by Dan Lorimer, Conservation Chair of the Rio Grande Chapter of the Sierra Club. And today, the 60-day legislative session kicks off, and we've been talking about some of the water-related bills that have been pre-filed and what we need to be paying attention to. From a conservation and environmental protection perspective, Dan, let's shift gears and talk about some of the renewables bills, because some of these are priorities for the Sierra Club.
Indeed they are, Allison. The Sierra Club has a couple of renewable and clean energy initiatives in this session. The one I would start with is one that's been submitted by Representative Cheryl Williams Stapleton from Albuquerque, and it is HB 70 to extend solar market development tax credit. And what this does is it re-ups for another 4 years a tax credit to folks who put solar systems on their houses. And this was a bill that was passed with a lot of support in 2012, and it's going to run out in 2016 if we don't re-up it. It's a very, very successful tax credit. It's really encouraged lots of people to put solar on their roofs, which helps so much with energy independence, distributed generation, which is safer than generating everything from one spot and putting it all through long lines. It's better to have generation in communities and on houses, because that will work whether the grid fails or not. And so that's a bill that we're excited to be working on again this year. The other development tax credit for renewables is a utility level tax credit for utilities, both electric co-ops and for-profit utilities like PNM. it gives them tax credits for developing renewable energy generation projects. So this would be wind farms, this would be solar arrays, this would be geothermal energy used at a utility scale commercially to produce electricity and sell it. That is also a law that exists today. There is a queue of companies wanting to build renewable energy generation projects here in New Mexico, no more money in it. And so we need to re-up this bill also so that it will run through 2020 or perhaps 2021 and allow the tax credits to the utilities for doing these great projects, which is ultimately going to change New Mexico from a fossil fuel generation state to a renewable energy generation state.
Dan, does that bill have a number?
It does not.
Not yet. And that's a House bill or Senate bill? Or
I'm not sure which side it'll be introduced from, but as in the past, and we tried this last year and it didn't get through committee, but it's an important tax credit, and next year is when it runs out, so this is the year that we need to get this thing re-upped. And when we worked on it last year, the electric co-ops carried it, and it was carried by a Republican House member, I think maybe Catherine Brown, carried this before. At any rate, the electric co-ops are who are carrying most of the water on this because they're really good messengers. And they'll be doing that again this year. So we'll be working shoulder to shoulder with the electric co-ops and trying to move this bill forward.
Very good. And what about some of the, you're also looking at tax credits for electric vehicles too, right?
Yes, Allison, and I'm very excited about this. The concept is to give a moderate tax credit to people and to New Mexicans who buy plug-in electric vehicles or to buy commercial charging units, the charging units that you get when you buy a battery-powered car, basically take overnight to charge the batteries up. Commercial charging units can do it in as short as 20 minutes. And so we want to encourage the infrastructure development here in New Mexico for charging electric vehicles. This is a bill that we worked on. This will be the third session that we have worked on this bill. It has passed the Senate. In the past, it has passed the House in previous sessions. We've got to get it through both of our legislative houses and up on the governor's desk. We're excited this year that we're running this bill from not just the House, where Representative Trujillo has sponsored in the past, but also in the Senate, where Senator Carlos Cisneros, who sits on the Senate Finance Committee, is carrying it on that side. So we're going to be running these from both directions at the same time in the hopes that we can get one version through two houses or that we can pass it through each of the houses and that they can do a compromise bill and kind of fold the bills together. So we feel like the odds are better in terms of the education of the legislature. We've been at this for two previous sessions, educating legislators to the benefits of electric vehicles and how it would improve life for New Mexico, for New Mexicans, to encourage that great transportation technology. So this year, we will be working our heads off as we support the efforts of the sponsors in both the House and the Senate. And then if, as I say, if the House bill passes, it has to go to the Senate. We'll have to work it again over there. If the Senate bill passes, we'll work it all over again in the House. And so that's something we really want to see happen. It's a very moderate tax credit between the cars and the charging unit. It's got a $3 million cap on how many tax credits can be given. $2 million for cars and $1 million for the charging units. And so we're excited because this looks at it a little more comprehensively by looking at infrastructure as well as what we want to see New Mexicans purchasing in terms of transportation choices. It's moderate. It sunsets. There's reports from the Tax and Revenue Division if it's being successful or not. And so those are all elements that really help a piece of legislation pass. we're going to be focusing a lot of our energy on that legislative concept.
And Dan, this is not the first time that the legislature has heard this bill. Representative Trujillo, sponsored this electric vehicle income tax credit the last 30-day session, but it was probably too short of a session to really get that to move very quickly.
We got it passed through the House, but ran out of time before the Senate could deal with it.
So hopefully that puts you in a good position this during the 60-day session to get that through both houses.
Yes, and this is another reason that we're trying to have it run from both houses of the legislature to increase our odds. It increases the work we have to do, but it increases the odds of one of those successfully making it through the legislative process.
Well, that's great. And for homeowners, there are a couple tax credits and programs. Representative Brian Egolf is sponsoring a bill, Energy Efficient Homes Tax Credit, and Senator Richard Martinez, a bill for residential energy conservation programs. What are those two bills about? They sound pretty good to me, at least by their titles.
The Richard Martinez bill is basically an equivalent to funding LIHEAP, the low-income home energy program that makes low-income families pay lower utility bills by making their residences more energy efficient. He's run this in the past successfully. This one doesn't mention the LIHEAP funding. It comes at it from a different place. And I think that the one that Senator Egolf did, let's see if I can find that. There is also a bill by Representative Carl Trujillo that is a water and energy tax credit for people who improve their house efficiency for either energy or water. Okay, here is Representative Brian Egolf's bill, and this is a one-time, short-term, refundable tax credit for purchasers of eligible energy-efficient homes. So this is about people who are buying homes or are buying foreclosed homes. And what it says is that if those homes are energy efficient or had been made energy efficient, that these people could get a tax credit. This tax credit, I think, is 3 years, July 1st, 2015 to June 31st, 2018. So it's a short-term idea, and it's trying to get people more interested in energy efficient and water efficient homes. So I think that that's an exciting bill that we'll be happy to be supporting. I'm looking now for Representative Carl Trujillo's bill that he ran also last year that gives tax credits to folks who make energy or water efficiency improvements in their houses that are measurable, and it's got the people that need to measure that. Last year, it was HB 124. This year, HB 64, Home Energy and Water Efficiency Tax Credit. And so this isn't about people buying houses. This is about people improving their houses. And a moderate tax credit for improving energy and indoor water efficiency. And the idea is to increase the efficiency of energy and indoor water use of existing residences in the state. So different from the Representative Egolf, which is about buying houses, this
right.
is about improving houses.
Right. Well, Dan, in the last minute that we've got remaining here in this segment, tell us about some potential wildlife bills this next session. Senator William Soles has a bill. There may be some others.
Yes. Senator Soles, who's a terrific senator from Las Cruces, has put this bill up that deals with an issue that has arisen in the past in New Mexico, particularly in the northern part of the state, where ranchers and farmers whose fields are being depredated by elk and antelope and deer, the way the law is written now, can go out and shoot them. And in fact, there have been incidences where numbers of antelope were killed, in a very unsportsmanlike, they just went out and murdered a bunch of antelopes. This is a bill that would require a bunch more mitigation effort on both the part of the Game and Fish Department and on the part of the landowner. In other words, they've got to do things before they start shooting our wildlife for eating their crops. They've got to do mitigation with noise, with lights. Fencing sometimes works, but oftentimes doesn't work. There's a process that both the department and the landowner have to go through before it's legal for the landowner to pick up a gun and go shoot the things.
Okay.
Or eating his crop. So the senator is trying to deal with an existing situation that is not working well. So we're really happy to see this piece come down.
Great. Well, Dan, that's all the time we have for this segment of the show. Thank you very much for talking with us today. And we'll be right back after this short break, and we'll be talking to Representative Jeff Steinborn about his bill to ban coyote killing contests. Stay with us here on Earth Matters on Gila Membrus Community Radio. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. I'd like to welcome our second guest, Representative Jeff Steinborn, who represents District 35 in Doñana County. And Representative Steinborn and Senator Mark Moores are sponsoring a bill this session to ban coyote killing contests. Welcome, Representative Steinborn.
Hello, good to be with y'all.
Thanks so much for joining us. And there were 20 coyote killing contests in New Mexico last year. What are these contests all about? Give us some background.
I couldn't tell you the history of them other than I think obviously they're based in certain people's beliefs towards predators and negative feelings towards predators in the wild. But a coyote killing contest is a competition organized to literally celebrate killing coyotes, and serves really no other purpose. Sometimes I understand, I've never been to one, never participated in one, but they'll involve who kills the most coyotes, sometimes who gets the biggest coyote. But yeah, it's really, unfortunately, killing for killing's sake and serves no other purpose. So that's unfortunately what they're about.
Right. And recently, I think we saw in the Albuquerque Journal that a number, maybe 45 or so coyote carcasses were discovered outside of Las Cruces.
Yeah, it's a pretty horrific kind of picture there of a bunch of discarded coyotes who literally had their mouths, where jaws were propped open with like little wooden shanks inside of them, and they were given numbers and just thrown aside like, illegally dumped trash. And it's pretty disgusting picture, but one of those kinds of pictures that really lifts the veil off what this really is and how pointless it is, how senseless it is.
Yeah, and so you and Senator Mark Moores are co-sponsoring a bill this session to ban coyote killing contests. Maybe you could tell us a bit more about what that bill will do.
Sure. So it's kind of a good opportunity. There's a Republican state senator, and of course I'm a Democratic state House member. We're teaming up to introduce legislation, which we'll be introducing in the next couple of days, to ban coyote killing competitions, and hopefully having that bipartisan support, that bipartisan sponsorship, will help us knock down some of the roadblocks that existed last session that stopped this bill from advancing. And what the bill does, and I'm looking at it right now, is basically makes it illegal for a person to organize, cause, sponsor, arrange, hold, or participate in a coyote killing competition. And basically that involves prizes or other items that are being given out in connection to it. So it's a pretty narrow bill in that it just deals with a competition for the killing of coyotes. It doesn't deal with other management-related issues, other sportsman-related activities, related to coyotes. It's just simply to make it illegal to hold the competition for the killing of coyotes.
And what are the penalties for if you're caught organizing or participating in a coyote killing contest?
These penalties, I understand, came from the last version of the legislation last session, and it is a misdemeanor to organize the competition, and it is a petty misdemeanor to participate in it.
Okay. So what, you all ran this bill, HB 316, previously, but the bill failed on a vote of 38-30. What do you think your chances are this session, especially with the House now in Republican, the Republican majority?
It's interesting. I think there's a bigger tent of support for the legislation this time, and we have bipartisan sponsorship, so I'm hoping that that'll make the bill a little less partisan, coupled with the new negative publicity that's occurred. Hopefully there's kind of, I think, a heightened sensitivity to the issue, and there are some groups who were actively involved in opposing it last time who are now kind of on the sidelines. A few of their people are even speaking out against coyote killing competition. So it is going to be a tough bill to get passed. I believe that still, having seen the debate last time. But I think there's also more support. So the bill will begin in the Senate, I believe. And I think our chances are probably better there. But there's still roadblocks. So it'll be interesting to see. But I do think it's going to be tough. And it would also be great to have this governor take a stand on this bill and help lend support as well.
Do you have any idea what Governor Martinez's position is on coyote killing contests? Has she ever weighed in on the issue?
No, she hasn't that I'm aware of. And, unfortunately, the Game and Fish Department under her tenure has been very kind of anti-conservation, certainly anti-threat and endangered species, but the coyote is a non-managed species in the state, and preliminary indications seem to be that they take the coyote killing, kind of pro-coyote killing folks' perspective on it, but I don't know. I don't know where she's at, and I think it'll be important for her to take a stand on this bill.
Yes, absolutely. And who are the advocates out there that are working on this bill?
You mean the advocates that are working?
Working for this bill.
Oh, okay. The main group is a group called Animal Protection Voters, and they work on a lot of animal rights, animal protection type of legislation. There are other groups that are involved, too, and I know they've been very involved, and I'm sorry I don't know their names, but in fact, they've been working on it. They work on it year-round. So a number of other groups, Animal Protection Voters, I know, is one of the main ones.
Right, right. Wow. So are there other bills that you would like to talk about since we have you on the show? This is a privilege. I think you're the first state legislator. Actually, I take that back. That's not true. You're the first state legislator for this legislative session to appear on Earth Matters. So I want to take advantage of your expertise. And I think that one of the things that everybody's talking about is, you know, what's it going to mean that the House is now in the majority for the first time in 60 years? And what do you think is going to happen since you're in the House and your party is no longer in the majority?
Right. There's a few issues that we hear about, and they have to do with kind of big business. And there's legislation called Right to Work, which doesn't exist in New Mexico, which would basically weaken labor unions in the state. And I know there in Grant County, long tradition of labor union protecting steel workers and whatnot in the mines and So this legislation would basically weaken the unions by not requiring union members to pay their fair share that are still protected under union bargaining contracts, the right to union representation if there's a problem. And then, of course, ultimately, by weakening and removing anyone's ability to have to contribute, that, of course, fundamentally weakens the union's ability to have resources and be able to fight for working people of the state of New Mexico, as well as be a voice at election time. So that is kind of strikes to the core of unions in the state of New Mexico, which is not that huge of a percentage of our workforce. I heard the number, I believe, 7%. So it's not like a majority of New Mexico's workforce is unionized or that this is a huge factor affecting businesses that want to locate here or are here. But nonetheless, it's a signature crown jewel that the new Republican majority is making their top priority this coming session. So that's coming. And then, I having been up there and seeing the really strong influence of lobbyists and big business in the roundhouse in the Capitol, I suspect that they're thinking up lots of ways to try to tilt the playing field towards big business, away from workers' rights, environmental protections that we count on when it comes to things like extractive industries or other fields that may have negative environmental consequences. So I think we're going to see all kinds of bills that again just tilt that scale all the way towards big business to the detriment of the workers, the environment, et cetera. And then I hate to say that, but unfortunately that's just a product of being up there and, again, seeing that impact of the lobbying core and how certain members are very responsive to that.
So, Representative Steinborn, you sit on the Interim Water and Natural Resources Committee that meets outside of legislative sessions. And water, of course, is a big issue here in southwestern New Mexico and around the state. And I'm just wondering, any sense of what big, if any, policy initiatives might be addressed this session on water?
It's a great question. I know that there's going to be some legislation to direct how we apportion some of our funding. I'm hearing lots of ideas about accountability, greater transparency for groups like the Interstate Stream Commission and how they would choose to spend money, try to divert water and things of that nature. I'm expecting that we'll see some legislation along those lines as well.
Very good. And I'm hearing public-private partnership type bills, which, of course, from a community perspective, is very scary, at least in the context of water, because this oftentimes means privatization of water, providing drinking water to communities and also wastewater services. And so I'll be interested to see kind of what might be coming out of this. I believe is the New Mexico First. They had a town hall last spring on water, and they'll be talking about some of the priorities that came out of that. And we did hear at the Water Dialogue that they have a public-private partnership bill, but nobody's seen it yet. So I don't know if you've heard anything on that.
No, but we'll be watching.
All right, thanks, Jeff. We'll be right back with Earth Matters after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. In the second half of Earth Matters, we've been talking to Representative Jeff Steinborn from District 35 in Doniana County, and Representative Steinborn and Senator Mark Moores are sponsoring a bill this session to ban coyote killing contests. And we're now going to shift gears and start talking about some other environmental legislation that Representative Steinborn is sponsoring this session. One that sounds very exciting is to get a Rio Grande Trail established. Representative Steinborn, tell us more about this bill.
So So, you know, it's not a new idea, but for years, former Representative Bill Porter from Las Cruces, also interestingly from, well, I guess he was representative for District 36, had this idea that, we should have a trail going from the Colorado border down to, I suppose, Texas and Mexico, a la similar to the Appalachian Trail or the Continental Divide Trail that we would call the Rio Grande Trail and parallel the Rio Grande River. He left the legislature. He asked me to kind of keep the discussion going a few years ago, which I did. State Parks Department under former Governor Richardson did a study on it, and unfortunately it kind of ended there when the governor left office. And so I have begun discussions again with the New Mexico State Parks Department to look at what we need to do to actually move this forward so that we could create a cool hiking trail in proximity to the Rio Grande, and I think it'd be great for the state. So possibly there will be legislation that parallels that effort, a memorial. But, you know, it's a project that's not without its challenges, so the bulk of my efforts during the session will be facilitating discussions with the state parks and perhaps our congressional delegation and other stakeholders to see what we need to do to move that forward.
Wow, that sounds exciting. Sounds like that could be a real outdoor recreation driver and also have some positive economic benefits all up and down the Rio Grande.
Oh, yeah. You know, trails are a huge business. This last year, I went and hiked on the Appalachian Trail with my good friend, Representative Nate Cody, who was also the sponsor of the Coyote Killing Competition last year. He goes to the Appalachian Trail every year, and this last year he took me with him to Virginia. And it was a real inspiring trip, of course, eye-opening. And the amount of money I spent getting ready for that trip, I joke that I was single-handedly responsible for a point of GDP growth this last quarter for the amount of money you spend getting ready for the trip, for everything from food to all your hiking supplies and everything else. And then, of course, staying at local hotels, eating at restaurants. So it's actually a huge business and would be a real asset for the state of New Mexico and tourism, as you say, up and down the state. Neat opportunity for us.
Sounds like a great idea. So the memorial right now, it sounds like, will be more in terms of establishing communications with state parks and potentially other agencies and just figuring out the next steps after the report that was completed under the Richardson administration?
Exactly. And just really figuring out where are the pressure points and the problem areas that we need to overcome and how legislation can help bring the right people together to do that, or maybe even bring a little bit of funding to help with that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of funding, oil and gas severance taxes down, state budget and capital outlay funding probably down. What are we looking at? What are the prospects for capital outlay this session, or this year, I should say?
You know, it's a moving target. I still keep hearing this number, $144 million in new funding, even in the last few days. So there seems to be a reasonable prospect that there will be some surplus revenue that we'll get appropriate for projects in our home communities, capital outlay, as it's called. But, you know, it's with the fluctuating price of oil, we could find ourselves in a flat budget. So we'll see. But as of now, it seems to be that we're still talking modest surplus, and that's the latest information I have.
Right. Well, transparency has been a really hot topic throughout the state. Of course, transparency was an issue that Governor Martinez campaigned on, was to improve open government and transparency in her administration. But yet, you know, we've certainly seen a number of instances where transparency has been a major issue. And for us here in southwestern New Mexico, certainly the Arizona Water Settlements Act and and dealing with a Gila River diversion and the Interstate Stream Commission, potential violations of the Open Meetings Act, and sort of the list goes on in terms of the lack of transparency in these governmental decision-making processes. And you are sponsoring a couple bills, Representative Steinborn, on transparency. Maybe you could tell us a bit about them.
Sure. So several years ago, I sponsored the rule change in the House that required that we start broadcasting our committee meetings over the Internet, webcasting, for the first time. Unfortunately, those rules did not allow for, couldn't get through the House that we should be archiving those meetings. And so you have to be watching those meetings in real time. And now we're trying to make it so that the state archives the committee meetings, of the webcast of the committee meetings, so that everyone really has full access to be able to, you know, watch our legislative proceedings when they get off work or on the weekends. And so that's one piece of legislation. Also working on another webcasting bill that will have us start webcasting our meetings throughout the rest of the year, the interim committee meetings, and archive those as well, because we do a lot of interesting policy briefings throughout the year, and sometimes do hearings on kind of scandals and crises that arise, like the behavioral health situation that happened. In addition to that, there's legislation I'm working on with Common Cause New Mexico to really greatly expand the transparency that we have, the reporting that is required of lobbyists and lobbyist employers, to require them for the first time to really report full money that they spend to lobby the state of New Mexico, and then put all that information online so that with one click, citizens could go and see how much, say, Pfizer spends to lobby pharmaceutical legislation, for example. So that is an outgrowth of the bill I introduced in 2009, and we've expanded on that bill, and we'll be introducing it probably no later than Wednesday. And would really help us all follow the money of, you know, who's trying to influence who in the state and the big bucks that are being put behind those efforts.
Absolutely. That sounds like a terrific bill, you know, and especially follow the money. I like that. Representative Steinborn, what do you feel some of the resources for citizens who want to follow the legislature? What's out there that citizens can use to follow your activities over the next 60 days? The legislature has a website.
I think that's the best tool, nmlegis.gov. And at nmlegis.gov, first of all, there's a webcasting section where you can follow committees, but really what you want to do is they actually have a tool where you can search keywords and you can track legislation that may be important to you. And then you can clearly see what committees it's been assigned to. Granted, they use their little jargon and, initials for each of the committees, so you kind of have to study it a little bit. But you can see what committees each bill has been assigned to. You could then, every day, they publish a schedule of committees, what time they're meeting, the order of the legislation, how it's going to come up. Of course, Allison knows that doesn't always happen. Sometimes the committees jump around on bills depending upon who's in the room or if they're playing politics with a bill and don't want to hear it. But otherwise, you can follow exactly when a bill's supposed to be up. You can follow it on webcasting and really participate in the process pretty well. You can see who's on every committee, call their office. So I would encourage people, don't be intimidated. Get involved. Follow bills like this coyote killing ban on coyote killing competitions. Understand where that bill's at in the process. Pick up the phone and call those committee members and tell them that you want them to support this bill or oppose it or wherever you may come down on it. But the website is pretty good to be able to follow where it's at. Unfortunately, as I said earlier, as far as watching committees, you unfortunately have to be watching in real time, and that's difficult for people to do. And that's why we're trying to pass this other bill this session to archive those meetings. But get involved, nmlegis.gov, best way to do it, and check it out.
Yes, Representative Steinborn, I really appreciate this bill to archive webcasting because, you know, we're 6 hours away from Santa Fe. And so for people to be driving up and back from Silver City, Deming, even Las Cruces to Santa Fe to hear what's being said in these committee rooms, it's virtually impossible. So and also to be able to do it during the day, during working hours. So I think this bill is a terrific idea. So thank you so much for putting it together. And with that, I just wanted to ask you if you had any concluding remarks before we end our program for today.
No, just thank you for having me on. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for having a program focused on our planet, our natural resources. That's really important. And just really want to encourage anyone listening to just get involved. Don't be intimidated. New Mexico is still a small state, and a few people making their voice heard can go a long way. You would be amazed. And so, again, I'll just throw out the website, nmlegis.gov. Follow these bills, get involved, and you know that's what helps makes our democracy stronger, is citizen involvement, accountability, and participation. So, appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
All right. Thank you, Representative Steinborn, for talking with me today. Please visit Gila Members Community Radio on gmcr.org for more information, a podcast of today's show, and audio archive of all Earth Matters programs. Thanks to our audio engineer, Kyle Johnson, and thank you for tuning into this week's program. I'm Allison Civic, and I hope you'll join us again for next week's edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, 89.1 FM.